Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. So I want to start by just sharing something that's a little bit weird about me. And the thing that's a little bit weird about me is every single time before I preach, every time I have to pee. Right before we came out here, I'm like, I got to pee. Every single time before I preach, I have to pee. I think it's why I move around so much up here. I'm literally just trying to hold it together. I have to pee right now. And so I could be talking really fast. We got out of here quick. Well, last week, it was interesting. I was preaching and I had to pee more than normal. And so when I got done, I tried to not talk to as many people as possible and try to make a beeline to the bathroom as quick as I possibly could. And then I walked into the bathroom. And last week, I saw something I've never seen before here at Relevant after a Sunday gathering. The bathroom was spotless. There was not a water spot on the mirror, and it was one of the best feelings I've ever had as a pastor, because I walked in there and I'm like, they listened and applied. I don't think anyone applied anything I said, and they listened and applied. So those of you who were here last week, great job. Those of you who weren't here last week, you're like, you preached about cleaning bathrooms? Kinda. You have to go back and watch to understand what that is all about. If this is your first time with us, we're in our final week of this three-part series that we've called Louder Than Words. And so let me just catch you up real quick if you haven't been around. Jesus and the writers of the New Testament tell us that as followers of Christ, as people who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and leader of our life, that we are now the salt of the earth, the light of the world, Christ's ambassadors sent on a mission to carry on the mission that Jesus came for, that Jesus died for, that Jesus rose from the grave for, to carry on the mission of seeking and saving those who are lost, those who have a broken relationship with Holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. And that's you and you and you and you and me and every single person. We are sent on a mission to reach people for Jesus. We're sent on a mission to impact people for Jesus. It's what we're called to do to follow Jesus, because it's who we are as followers of Jesus. It's our identity. It's our purpose. But come on, let's be honest. Many of us aren't following Jesus by being relentless about reaching people for Jesus. And we're not because we don't want to, but because we feel like we don't know how. The common thing I hear people say all the time is, I would love to impact people for Jesus, but I don't know what to say. And we assume that what we say is what impacts people for Jesus. But as we discovered over the last few weeks, while our words do matter, something else matters much, much more. And that is our actions. Bottom line, your actions always speak louder than your words. Your actions always speak louder than your words, especially when it comes to impacting people for Jesus. When it comes to reaching people for Jesus, I think we are just way too focused on what we think we're supposed to say. The truth is, I think we need to be more focused on how we live every single day, because that's what people are really paying attention to. How we live every day is either opening the door to share the good news, the life-transforming good news of Jesus with them, or it's slamming it shut. How we live every single day is our loudest message. And that's what this series has been all about. In this series, we're looking at three practical ways you can impact people for Jesus every day simply by how you live. And this is not an all-inclusive list. They're just simply three actions that you can take, no matter your age, your personality, your season of life, that you can choose to do and live out every single day right where you are, at school, at home, at the gym, at the grocery store. These three actions, they won't automatically make people want to believe what you believe, but they will make them want to know you more. And as you know, influence happens within the context of relationship. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, you've never put your faith in Jesus, you're actually a little surprised that you're even here at a church gathering today, I want you to know I am so glad you're here today specifically for this message. And I'm obviously talking to followers of Christ both throughout this series and today, but you can apply so much of what we're talking about today, and I think you should. You should, because if you do, you'll improve the lives of the people around you, and you'll make a positive impact at home and at your school and your team and at your company, and I believe that's something that you want to do. Now, I told you every week of this series, one of the reasons I chose to do this series right now is because Easter is next weekend. And we talk about this all the time around here at Relevant. Easter is one of the best opportunities to invite someone who doesn't know Jesus. For some reason, people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, would not say they're part of the church, for some reason, they're more open to come on Easter than any other time of the year. They simply just need invited. So my challenge to you and to all of us this Easter and every single Easter is reach one. Reach one this Easter. Invite one person who doesn't know Jesus to come sit with you this Easter. And here's the deal. Living out what we're talking about in this series and today won't make someone want to accept your invitation. But not living it out will make them definitely not want to accept it because your actions always speak louder than your words. Now, one more thing before we move on. I said this last week as well. We have five gatherings next weekend, five Easter gatherings, two on Saturday, 3 and 5 o'clock, 3 on Sunday, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. 9:45, it is every year, it's the most packed of all those gatherings because it's the most convenient time. So as people who love our church, you want to see as many people reach for Jesus as possible, if you're able to, I would just ask that you choose one of the other four gatherings other than 9:45 next week, unless the person that you are inviting wants to come to 9:45. If so, come and sit with them. Otherwise, go to one of the other four gatherings and leave a seat available for someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus and a parking spot available for someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Now, the first everyday action to impact people for Jesus that we kicked off this series with 2 weeks ago was wherever there's darkness, shine bright. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. And then last week, we talked about the second, be faithful with the small things. And like the bathrooms, and you guys did such a good job of that last week. And here's the third thing that we're gonna dive into today. Add value in a way that no one else does. Add value in a way no one else does. Because here's why, I talked about this every week of this series. To make a difference, we have to be different. To make a difference, we have to live, act, react, and behave differently than how the rest of the world does. Well, adding value in a way no one else does is so powerful because it's so different. It's so different because of how most people naturally think and naturally live. Most people go into every relationship, environment, meeting, call, situation, circumstance, thinking, what will I get out of this? What value does this bring me? How can this benefit me? What value do you bring me? It's all about me, 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 and my time, my comfort, my preferences, my success. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about because we all know these type of people. People who are takers. People who take as much as they can for themselves. People who drain the life out of every single room they walk into. People who, when you see their name pop up on your phone, you want to immediately hit the ignore button. People who you hope you don't run into in the store. People you wish would find a different job. People you don't want to sit next to in class. People who are like relational and emotional mosquitoes. They just suck the life out of you. And none of us like mosquitoes. We want to get rid of them. When they're around us, we want to swat them away. We want to kill them. We want to avoid them. We don't want to bring mosquitoes closer to us. There's actually a guy here at Relevant. His name's Jay. He has a whole company called Mosquito Authority that the only thing that company exists is to get mosquitoes out of your yard, and we'll pay for it because we hate mosquitoes that bad. And none of us like relational mosquitoes, people who just take. And we all have someone in our mind right now that we're thinking of, don't we? Now, here's the reality. What's true about other people is also true about you. And is also true about me. You and I are naturally wired the same way. You and I, we're naturally selfish, self-centered, self-focused, self-serving. Our natural inclination is to be me-focused. What value do you bring me? How does this benefit me? What's in it for me? The way we naturally think and the way we naturally live is get for me. And you know that even when you think about showing up on Sunday mornings, you walk in here on Sunday mornings and all of our natural inclination is, how is this going to be good for me? What am I going to get out of it? Me. So here's the deal. This is so important. You and I choosing to add value in a way no one else does, it's so powerful because, guys, it is so different. But because of how we're all naturally wired, it will be very difficult for you and for me to actually live this out. It will be difficult. It will be unnatural. But man, it's worth it. It's worth it because adding value to people's lives in a way that no one else does shines extraordinarily bright in a dark world because it's so different. People notice it. People are drawn to it. People are changed by it. Most importantly, people are impacted for Jesus by it. Now, what's interesting is most people define winning in life by what they're getting. So all their effort goes into take. Well, to make a difference, to impact people for Jesus as followers of Christ, we must be different. We must redefine what it means to win. We must shift our mindset from being a taker to being a giver, to adding value to people in a way that no one else does. And that's difficult and it's unnatural. It takes a lot of effort to go from what I can get from you to what value I could give to you. But as followers of Christ, we need to. We need to because of a powerful principle that Paul introduced us to in Galatians 6. The New Testament book of Galatians is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church, to the community of Christ followers in the region of Galatia in the first century, about 15 or so years after the events of Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection. And Paul is instructing them in this letter on how to follow Jesus. Now, real quick, according to the writers of the New Testament, the moment we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and leader of our life, at that moment, God's Spirit or the Holy Spirit takes residence within us. And we are now in Christ because Jesus' Spirit now resides in us. Well, toward the end of this letter, Paul instructs them, and he's instructing us, on how to live a life in the power of the Spirit that now resides in us, that glorifies God and that reflects Jesus. And then he concluded that whole thought with a powerful principle. A powerful principle many of us have said at some point in time and had no idea originated in Scripture. A powerful principle that many of us believe to be true for them and for our kids and for our employees, but we often assume doesn't apply to us. A powerful principle that God built into creation that we can't break. And if we try, we end up just breaking ourselves against it. A powerful principle that as a follower of Christ, we've got to take seriously if we want to follow Jesus, experience Jesus, and impact people for Jesus. Now, real quick, when we read passages like this one, and many of you, as soon as I start reading, you'll be like, oh, I've heard this before. When we read passages like this, it is so easy to read this passage, so many other passages, just with an eye in the sky, just vertical, just, oh, this is about me and my relationship with God and how me and God are doing, and forget the horizontal. But here's the deal. You cannot separate the vertical relationship from the horizontal relationships. Our vertical relationship with God impacts how we treat and how we relate to other people. And how we treat and how we relate to other people impacts our relationship with God. If you think this is just all about you and God and you can treat people however you want to treat, that you are not following Jesus. So keep that in mind as we read this. This is not just about me and God vertical. You got to keep the horizontals in mind. So Paul said, do not be deceived. He's saying, don't buy into the lie that what I'm about ready to say is not 100% true for them, for him, for her, and for you. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And here's the principle. A man reaps what he sows. We've all heard that, haven't we? Paul's first century audience was very familiar with how farming worked. Most of us, not so much. So we need to kind of unpack this a little bit. Here's what every farmer knows. Every farmer knows that sowing or planting is a choice. A farmer chooses to sow and chooses what to sow. He doesn't just hope for a crop. He does not just pray for a crop. To reap a crop requires the choice to sow, the choice to plant. Here's the other thing a second farm, every farmer knows. What's sown is what's grown. What's sown is what's grown. When you sow wheat, you don't get bananas. No matter how much you want bananas, wish for bananas, or pray for bananas. You sow wheat, you reap wheat. Now, Paul's obviously not giving a lesson on farming here. He's using the farming analogy to bring a powerful principle to life. Paul is saying, just like a farmer, the choice of what you sow is up to you. The choice of what you sow is up to you, but whatever you choose to sow, you are choosing to reap every single time, 1,000 times over, no matter how much you wish or how much you pray for something else. It's a principle that God himself set into place, and God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow every time. You cannot get around it. And now that you know that, here's what's imperative that you also know. Whoever sows to please their flesh. And when Paul says flesh here, Paul's referring to our fallen, our sinful nature. The sinful desires within us that are not of God, that do not reflect God, and when pursued, do not glorify God. Our flesh or our sin nature is all about one thing. You know what our flesh is all about? Our sin nature is all about? Here it is. Our flesh and our sin nature is all about me. What I want, what's best for me, what I get, what makes me happy, how I feel, what benefits me, what brings me value, my pleasure, my wants, my will, my way. Me is most important. Me is at the center. And everything and everyone, you and God, revolves around me and is here for me. Our sin nature, our flesh, is rooted in and can be summed up in one word. And that word is pride. Paul says, hey, whoever sows from that place, whoever chooses to please or serve their pride from the flesh will reap destruction. He's saying, whoever sows to please and serve their pride will reap what pride always produces. And what pride always produces is destruction. And you don't need the Bible to know that's true. You've seen enough marriages destroyed. Families destroyed, friendships destroyed, businesses destroyed, churches destroyed, teams destroyed, partnerships destroyed by prideful people who take for me to know that this is true. Paul's saying, whoever sows to please themselves, their pride, what is not of God will reap what is not of God. Destruction, or other words you may want to put there, death. Division, emptiness, disconnection, bitterness, hopelessness, which is bad news for pretty much all of us because this is how we're all naturally wired. But here's the good news, and here's the flip side of this principle. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, and once again, Paul is referring to the Holy Spirit that now resides in those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and a leader of our life. And you got to know, a few verses earlier than this, Paul wrote what pleases the Spirit is what adds value to other people's lives. He referred to them of what pleases the Spirit as the fruit of the Spirit. And he listed 9 words. He said love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what pleases the Spirit because this is what is of God. This is what reflects God. This is what glorifies God. This is what infuses the life of Jesus into this world and into people's lives. Paul says, whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He's saying whoever sows to please the Spirit will reap what only God can produce. And what only God can produce is eternal life. And by the way, the word eternal here, eternal means unending. It doesn't mean someday after you die. Eternal starts now, not someday, but today. Eternal life, eternal hope, peace, joy, blessing, contentment, fulfillment in you and them, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your coworkers, in your teammates, in your neighbors, in your home. Paul's saying, you reap what you sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh will reap what pride always produces, and that's destruction. Whoever sows to add value in a way that pleases the Spirit will reap God himself and the life that only he could produce in you, in them, and in your relationships. And by the way, God cannot be mocked. This is a principle he set in place, which means we can't break it. We just break ourselves against it. We can try to ignore it. We can think we're the exception to the rule. We can believe it doesn't apply to us. And every time we believe and think that, that's just pride. And God cannot be mocked. Ignoring this, neglecting this principle, it's not just foolish. It's destructive. It's destructive for you. It's destructive in every relationship you have. And it's definitely as destructive in your ability to impact people for Jesus. You reap what you sow. So Paul instructs us, let us not become weary in doing good, in adding value to other people in a way that pleases the Spirit, doing good. For in the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, here's another thing every farmer knows. Every farmer knows you always reap in a different season than you sow in. You don't sow seeds today and reap a harvest tomorrow. You gotta wait, be consistent, be patient, be persistent, even if it looks like nothing's happening. Because a farmer knows just because you don't see it doesn't mean something powerful isn't happening underground. And that's especially true when it comes to sowing the seeds of adding value in people's lives. It doesn't always feel appreciated. You won't always see instant results. You might feel overlooked, exhausted, taken for granted for, underappreciated. And Paul says, don't give up. Don't give up in doing good by adding value in a way that no one else does in pleasing the Spirit. I know it's hard. I know it takes time. But keep sowing those seeds. In the proper time, you will reap a harvest. You will reap impact that only God can produce. Therefore, as we have opportunity, meaning every chance we get, let us do good to who? Who? All people. At school, at work, in your home, on your team, with the classmate no one wants to sit with the coworkers who's struggling, with your spouse who's feeling overwhelmed, with the parent who's exhausted, with the person who hurt your feeling, with the jerk who lives next door. All people. Oh, and especially those who belong to the family of believers, the church, other followers of Christ. Because, come on. If we can't get this right with one another, we won't get this right with any other. If we can't get this right with one another, we won't get this right with any other. Paul's saying, do good. Add value. Do it, don't do it for your gain, but for their benefit. Not on the, in a surface level way, but in a way that reflects and glorifies Jesus and pleases the Spirit in a way no one else does, because you reap what you sow. Listen, if we want to reap a harvest of reaching people for Jesus, we have to sow in such a way that people see and experience the love of Jesus, the joy of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, both in us and through us. And one of the most powerful ways we can do that is by adding value to people in a way that no one else does, because this is so, so different. And this is so powerful because this is what Jesus did. In the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 9, we read, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus added value to people everywhere he went in a way that no one else did. He had all the power. He had all the authority as the Son of God. But instead of leveraging his power and authority to take for me, like everyone else with power and authority does, he leveraged it to give all of himself. Was it easy? No. Did it cost him? Yeah, it cost him everything. It cost him his life. And why did he do it? Because he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he knew you reap what you sow. He sowed value into people's lives spiritually, physically, emotionally, and the harvest was transformation. And then he said to his disciples, to you and to me, to people who put our faith in him, the harvest is plentiful. The opportunities to influence, impact, and reach people are everywhere, but the workers are few. And why? Because it takes a lot of effort, because it's not natural to go from what I can get from you to what value I can give to you. That's not comfortable. It's not easy. It's not intuitive. But it's worth it. It's worth it because you reap what you sow. It's worth it because it's so different. And to make a difference, we have to be different. Bottom line, to impact people for Jesus, add value in a way no one else does. Listen, do you know the first thing you will reap from people who you sow value into their lives? Do you know what the first thing you'll reap from them is? It's this: gratitude. When you consistently add value in a way no one else does into people's lives, over time, those people become extraordinarily grateful for you. And the more grateful people are for you, the more credibility you will reap from them. And I said last week, we talked about this every week, credibility opens the door to influence, and influence is how you impact people for Jesus. You've probably heard this phrase before. People may forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you make them feel. So live in such a way that people feel grateful for you by adding value in a way no one else does. Add value in a way no one else does, and you will make an impact in a way that no one else does either. Add value in a way no one else does, and do what no one else will. Do things others aren't doing and others aren't willing to do. Don't wait to be asked. Don't just do what's required. Show up when no one else is. Do the thing everyone else walks past. That's different. That stands out. When you do what no one else will, you add value in a way that no one else does. Add value in a way no one else does, and serve people in a way that no one else is. People do not care what you know or care what you say until they know how much you care, and few things show how much you care like serving people who are experiencing suffering, hurt, pain, despair, loneliness, depression, injustice, addiction, need, in a world where people are so focused on themselves. Serving others stands out because it's so different. When you serve people in a way no one else is, when you sit with someone who's lonely, when you show up when it's inconvenient, when you meet a need that no one else is meeting, you're doing what Jesus did. You're adding value in a way no one else is by showing compassion like no one else is. Add value in a way no one else does, and go the second mile. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, if anyone forces you to go one mile, go with them too. Because anyone can do the minimum. You've got to breathe to do the minimum. Few do more than what's required for someone. When you go to the second mile with someone, they take notice. And they take notice because it's rare, it's unexpected, and it's unforgettable. When you go the second mile with or for someone, you add value in a way no one else does, which produces credibility. Add value in a way no one else does, and speak words of life. We live in a world where words are weapons. People are torn down every day by sarcasm, gossip, criticism, belittling words. Every word, remember this, this is so important. You remember this in every interaction you have at home, at school, at work. Every single word that you and I speak brings either life or death to someone's soul. So, shine bright and add value by speaking words of life, hope, peace, kindness, truth, and love. Add value by doing what the Apostle Paul instructs us to do in Ephesians 4. Only, he says, speak words that are beneficial for building others up. Add value in a way no one else does, and be a giver, not a taker. Most people go into every relationship, environment, meeting, call, situation, and circumstance thinking, what can I get for me? Me, 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 me. And takers, they drain people. Takers are like mosquitoes. They suck the life out of you. And no one wants to be around relational mosquitoes. And listen, I'm going to be really honest with you, and I know I probably shouldn't say this because I'm a pastor, but this is true about you, it's true about me. There's some of you, when I see you coming my way, I go the other way. Because every single interaction I have with you, all it is take, 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 take. And you never add one thing. You're like a relational mosquito. Givers give life to people. Takers constantly think, what can I get from you? Givers constantly think, what can I give to you and for you? So be a giver, not a taker. Be the kind of person who always leaves more energy, always leaves more joy, always leaves more hope, always leaves more encouragement, always leaves more peace than you take. That's how you add value. That's how people become grateful for you. That's what makes people want to be around you. Add value in a way that no one else does, and love in a way that no one else loves, with the same grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, compassion, gentleness, intentionality, selfless sacrifice, kindness that Jesus first loved you with, even when they don't deserve it, especially when they don't deserve it. Love when it's costly. Love like this when it's hard. Add value by loving people just as Christ first loved you, and you will make an impact in a way that no one else does, because that's what pleases the Spirit, and that is what is so different than how the world loves. Add value in a way no one else does, and redefine what it means to win. I said earlier, most people define winning in life by what they're getting. So all their effort goes into take, 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 take for me, 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 me. As a follower of Christ, let me ask you a question. How do you define winning in life? As a follower of Christ, how do you define winning in life? If it's by what you get, you're no different than the rest of the world. I truly believe the only way we'll shift our mindset from being a taker to being a giver is by redefining what it means to win in life as a follower of Christ. And here's how the Apostle Paul defined winning. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. What does a slave exist for? To add value. And here's why Paul did this. To win as many as possible. He goes on to say, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. According to the Apostle Paul, reaching one more person for Jesus was the ultimate win in life as a follower of Christ. So he chose to add value to people in a way that pleases the Spirit, that reflects and glorifies Jesus in a way that no one else does, because Paul wrote it, you reap what you sow. If you define winning by what you'll get, by what you get in life, you will struggle to be different. But if you redefine winning by who you're reaching, you'll start adding value in a way that pleases the Spirit and reflects and glorifies Jesus. And that's how you impact people for Jesus. So let me ask you, how can you begin to add value in a way no one else is? Maybe it's at home, at work, in your T-Life group, on your team, in your school. Maybe it's with a person, parent, spouse, coworker, or friend. Wherever it is or whomever it's with, choose to take the next step to add value in a way no one else does, and you will make an impact in a way that no one else does either. One last time. Here's the three practical ways you can impact people for Jesus every day simply by how you live. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. Be faithful with the small things and add value in a way no one else does. Are these the only three? No. Are they powerful? Yes, because they're so different. And your actions always speak louder than your words. Something you may not know if you haven't been around Relevant for very long is that one of the visions we have here at Relevant, one of my visions for our church, is that every year, every single one of us reach one for Jesus. Every year, every single one of us are reaching one person for Jesus. I mean, can you imagine if we saw that happen? Now, is living these three actions out, will they help do that? Yeah, but we all know there's so much more than that. And so we put together a little tool, these little Reach One booklets. We actually have this available online as well at, on our Reach One page of our website. If you're like, man, I would love to get my hands on those just to help me with even what words to say, how to invest, how to invite, you can grab one of these at the Next Step Air on your way out, or you can always go online and access it on the Reach One page of the website. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, I pray we choose to live out who we are as followers of Jesus, as ambassadors of Christ, as the light of the world. Choose to reflect you, to glorify you, to please the Spirit by how we live, by showing people that you're different, we're different. But I pray as we do that, people come to see and know you. I pray that you're glorified. I pray that we're transformed through it. And Lord, this week is you put people on our minds and hearts to invite. You put those Reach Ones on our minds and our heart. I pray that we all take that next step. We invite those people. We have the courage to invite those people. I pray that you work in their hearts right now, that they accept our invitations. And Lord, next weekend when we gather for Easter, Lord, I pray that first you are glorified. I pray that we celebrate the resurrection of our King, of our Savior, of our Lord. I pray that people come to see you in a different way, in a new way. Lord, I pray that people surrender their lives to you. We pray for people, they put their faith in you next week. We pray that you transform our lives next week. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to help you stay informed about opportunities for you or your family to stay connected at Relevant. The best way to do that is by getting you on our email list. Just text the word connected to 55444 and we'll get you added to that list. Lastly, at Relevant, we believe that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.